Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the NFL Stock Exchange Podcast. In this episode, it is our weekly stock watch. So we're talking about some college football players who are making noise in the 2023 NFL draft world. We're each bringing you three new players to the table. Well, more than three players. We're giving you a couple extra just because we love you. But we're talking about players who are really on the rise that you need to know that if you haven't been getting some eyes on them yet, you really need to. We're shaping out this class. If you put summer scouting together with some of the players that we've already done in the stock watch, man, you're getting a good view of what the 2023 NFL draft can be all about. I'm Trevor Sycamore. With me is Connor Rogers. Let's ring the bell. Welcome to the opening bell of the NFL Stock Exchange Podcast. I'm Trevor Sycamore. That is Connor Rogers. I don't know if you know, or maybe the good people. I'm talking to good people. If you see the boxes behind me here, we've got some moving supplies as well. This is the last day in the crib, man. Last day before moving day for your boy.
I have to admit, my first thought I got excited is that you got like a free hookup of something. Like someone shipped something to you that is ridiculous the size of that box. And you were like, all right, I got to sneak it into the show somehow. But just as exciting, you are moving. For all that watch on YouTube, and I know it's a pretty split audience, for all that watch on YouTube, say goodbye to Trevor's Kitchen as the backdrop. It had it one hell of a run on the NFL Stock Exchange.
This is where it was born, buddy. This is where it was born. I'm sad to see it leave. But
it's going to feel weird.
It is going to feel weird. Next time I'm going to be like in an actual room. I don't have an office, so I feel like my background's going to suck. So you guys are going to have to tune in for Thursday's episode to see if it's just a complete disappointment. But I've got some posters. Like, I've got some things that I think I could throw in the background to spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, you'll build it as it goes. I mean, I try to add something new every once in a while. After this hockey season, I threw in a Rangers goalie mask. You just have fun with it. So you'll make it your own. But Trevor on the move, not leaving Cincinnati is the rumor that I hear. Got to warn the people. Don't send them into a panic, Trevor.
No. We're not moving to Cincinnati. In fact, if you guys like the chemistry that me and Mike Renner have on the It's Just Football show every day, boy, is it about to get drastically better or drastically worse, because I'm actually going to be roommates with Renner for the next couple of months for the rest of the season. I feel like I'm doing that, like, people think I'm doing that for like content purposes, like I'm gonna have a camera strapped to me at all times.
Here's my question to you. When you live with a co-host, because I never have, when you live with a co-host and you guys both work at the same place during the day, it's not like you just do a podcast at night or something. You do a daily morning show, for those of you that don't know.
Right.
You like wake up and walk to work together? Like, do you have to wait for the other person?
No, I'm not doing that. The walk's way too long. We talk to each other too much anyways.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to be out the door before Renner is anyways. So,
I would assume that you are an early riser.
So is Mike though. I think that Mike is also an early riser, but I'm going to get out of the door to make sure that we don't have to walk together, because that's too much.
It's too much. I don't go outside without my headphones on. I don't interact when I usually leave the apartment, unless I like it's a social event. I won't wear my headphones at like the bar, but yeah, I get it. Especially in the morning, man. I need a good ramp up period in the morning.
We've got to find our quiet time. And I think it's probably going to be in the morning for me and Mike. So yeah, everybody say goodbye to the kitchen. You guys got to tune in on Thursday to see what the first look setup is like, and roast what my room is going to be there. But we're not here to just talk HGTV about what my living situation is.
Be cool, we did.
We're talking some stock up, stock down here on a Tuesday. We're looking back on college football that was, and as we have every single Tuesday so far this season, give you some guys that really stood out to us. It might be some guys that we've talked about in summer scouting, but something that we love to do on this show is we love to give you guys new names. We love to give you new names to the process as college football is evolving and as it is going on throughout the season. There are new players that are really standing out. So Connor, if you want to start this bad boy off, I will give you the floor here to bring up whoever your first guy is for stock up and stock down. Who you got?
Always a good idea to kick it off with a quarterback when you can. And yeah. I am going to bring someone to the show that we didn't talk about over summer at the position, and that is Michael Penix Jr., the transfer from Indiana to Washington. An interesting road. We've always seen the talent with Penix. We know about the season-ending torn ACL at Indiana at one point, and now Washington.
Twice, I believe.
Twice. Yeah, so the injury history is very long. But, man, just off of raw traits, 6'3", I think he can carry 220 pretty easily, a big, effortless arm. He's having a great season for Washington. He's thrown 12 touchdowns to one interception. He's already thrown almost 1,400 yards. Every single week in the PFF Ultimate database, there are big-time throws. That is a phrase that Trevor and I utter a lot on this podcast. And I think when evaluating quarterback prospects, you always want to see what those big-time throws look like. And the more they have, the better. And Penix has a lot, even the ones that aren't caught. This is somebody, Trevor, that when he's right, can fit the ball in tight windows. He can throw it in the bucket down the sideline. He can throw it on the move, and I just love his velocity outside the numbers. Those deep outs that are considered NFL throws, Penix can make. And he's somebody that I've actually surprisingly heard already a lot of buzz about in the NFL scouting community. And not as a – I don't want people to get mixed up. This isn't – he's not entering like the Stroud and Bryce Young combo or even the first round combo that we've talked about, that guys like hopefully Van Dyke, Richardson, or Levis were trying to find their way in, McKee – not even that, but looking at a potential day two developmental quarterback, Penix is on that radar right now. And I don't think anybody really was looking at him as a legit NFL prospect going into this year after the transfer. I think they were expecting 2 years at Washington and see what he could do to build that up. At this point, I'm not expecting him to have to stay at Washington for another, you know, season after this. I think he can declare and be a classic traits quarterback that goes on day two with his kind of talent.
I don't know if you saw this, but somebody actually in the comments, the YouTube comments for the show last week said, hey, what do you guys think about Michael Penix? And I actually responded to that person. I was like, look, I've fallen for Michael Penix 2 years in a row.
That's how I fell.
And damn it, I'll do it again. Yeah, I will do it again.
You had me once. You had me twice.
As long as this guy is healthy, man. He's so much fun.
Yeah, he's good.
The arm strength is there. This is somebody who I think, I thought this 2 years ago, has legit NFL arm talent. When I say that, I don't just mean with deep ball, how far you can throw it down the field. A lot of times when we talk about arm strength on this podcast, what we're really talking about is velocity, how quickly you can get a ball from point A to point B in the short to intermediate as well, firing that ball in there on a low trajectory, on a rope, as you will hear a lot of people call it. And I think Penix has that ability, man. You look at the injury history, though. I just wanted to remind people if they don't know Michael Penix's injury history. Two torn ACLs.
Two,
2018 and 2020. He had a connection to the clavicle, to the sternum injury. I think that he broke a bone there in 2019. And he had an AC shoulder joint issue in 2021. He has been hurt, Connor, every single year.
Every part of his body.
For the last 4 years. We've got a clavicle. We've got a shoulder. We've got two ACL injuries. The man is unfortunately damaged goods, but the word goods is still in there because he still has it. And I really do believe that. And I just hope that we get a fully healthy year from Penix. I don't know what his NFL future is going to be.
Right.
I don't know how much teams are obviously going to take into stock an injury history that feels like it is dripping with red and red circles and red marks and all of that. But when you see this guy out on the field, when he was thrown to DJ Matthews, when he was thrown to Ty Freifogel at Indiana, I loved what I saw. Now, he wasn't a perfect prospect. Man, the tools were there. He reminded me of Colin Kaepernick in a lot of ways. Just like kind of like a guy who's got these kind of like strange intangibles and the build, and like the arms are long and the legs are long, and it's just like he's very limbed out.
And in the
with his
motion,
arms and his legs.
Too.
And the motion.
The cavern thing you brought up, like, all just clicked in my head. Like, yeah, they especially when they roll out, it's the same kind of motion.
He reminds me a ton of Kaepernick, and I hope he gets to stay healthy because he is a ton of fun, dude. He's a lot of fun to watch.
He is, and this is his intro to me, from me to the draft world of, like, hey, no matter where a quarterback is going, if a guy is expected to get drafted, he's going to be discussed a lot, and people need to be ready. And you know what, Trevor? That might help Penix, and it's September, but could it really come to fruition by November? A lot of those fringe round one guys have not been great so far. Richardson was really impressive week one. Levis has been obviously up and down, but Richardson has had a really tough couple of weeks. McKee's kind of been whatever. Van Dyke's kind of struggled. I mean, after Stroud has been really good, by the way. But this isn't the show that you and I are going to sit here and be like, hey, CJ Stroud, stock up. Your stock can't really go anywhere when you're, you know, QB1 or 2.
Right.
But the point is, the door is wide open for the tier 2 or tier 3 quarterbacks in this draft. And I just want Penix's name to at least be out there at the moment.
I think it'll be there if he's healthy, man. He's going to have a big hive, if you will, on Twitter of people who watch his tape and they go, dude, if you want an arm talent guy and he's able to play a fully healthy year this year, I think that people are going to gravitate towards him for sure. You mentioned we're not really going to sit here and pump up CJ Stroud or Bryce Young, guys who we already have at the very top. It's funny, I had somebody reach out to me on Saturday because Blake Corum had another incredible day for Michigan, and somebody tweeted at me, it was like, we got to talk about Blake Corum, stock up. And I'm like, I had him as RB3 going into the year. I think Connor might have had him. Oh no, you didn't watch Blake Corum, right?
So, for yours? You ruined the surprise.
Oh,
I told Trevor before this show, because we each pick three players, then we have a ton that like we'll shout out. This was going to be my show that I go, man, I should have watched Blake Corum over the summer. Great job, Trevor. You had him as a top three running back. Because this was my weekend where I was like, okay, Blake Corum is not good. Blake Corum is awesome. Obviously, he had the game for 236 rushing yards, 78 after contact.
Nuts.
He had 6 explosive runs, 5 missed tackles forced. I mean, just a really insane game. And you saw how explosive and shifty Blake Corum is at 5'8", 210 pounds, that compact build. I told Trevor before the show, we always tell each other the players for lack of overlap, not for planning the show. We don't, trust me, folks, we're not that prepared over here. We don't write out every aspect of the show. And I was like, the last one I'm going to leave for you is a surprise because I got to come clean on somebody that you loved over the summer. And it's Blake Corum. And this, I guess we will talk about him a little bit, not as much as the rest of the guys on the show because everybody that's listening is aware of him by now. But man, Trevor, he looked incredible. He was maybe the best player in college football this weekend.
Dude, when I got eyes on him this summer, and you know, a lot of it was from what I saw last year as well. He was splitting time with Hassan Haskins in a really good backfield for Michigan Wolverines. And when I looked at things this year, yeah, of course, it's not like Blake Corum was going to get every carry, but he was, I thought, going to be that feature back at Michigan, and he is. And there are some other players. There's an underclassman they have there. I think Edwards is his name. He looks awesome as well, but he's not draft eligible yet. But the thing with Corum is I think this guy brings you three down ability. And you're going to look at his measurables and you're going to go, okay, he's 5'9". What is he, 200 pounds? And I go,
listen, 210.
Right, yeah. Like don't be shy on that 200, 210, whatever he ends up being, because that's in the lower body. And man, does that give him a lot of strength.
Yes.
He is not afraid to stick his nose in there when it comes to pass protection. Yes, of course, he's not the biggest back in the world. And so he's not going to just stone everybody, but he gives a ton of effort. He's got a great target point. I feel like when he's going in for blocks, if guys coming up the A gap or wherever he's trying to block and help, I think he's got really soft hands as well. He's nice as a receiver out of the backfield. And then, of course, you saw the production on the ground this past weekend, which we've seen throughout the entire year. Love the vision, love the footwork, love the agility. He's got decent long speed as well for a player that doesn't have really long legs. When you talk about a guy who's 5'9", sometimes he just doesn't have the strides to be a burner down the field. But I just think that Blake Corum is so much closer to a full-time offensive weapon kind of a threat than people were giving him credit for going into the season. And I'm not giving you crap on it. We can't watch
it. Straight up didn't watch him.
There were guys, right. And there were guys that you watched on your list that I didn't have on my list, but I also think that's what kind of made summer scouting really fun. And it's been great to see Michigan lean on Blake Corum as much as I felt like they could have, because he is somebody who, no matter where you have him in the game, whether it's in receiving, whether it's in pass blocking, whether it's, of course, on the ground, feel like he's got a lot to give. I think he's got, he is a high return on investment player, and I think he's going to continue to light up college football this year. By the end of the year, I think he's absolutely going to be in that conversation for Doak Walker to win running back of the year and potentially lead the NCAA in rushing yards. And I'm excited. I'm glad that you got eyes on him. I'm glad that he made this list. It's so funny that he was that mystery player that you were telling me about before the pod.
I think when a guy, no matter, and you know, Corum wasn't a top two running back. So it wasn't like we were talking about a summer blue chipper as a stock up here. When a guy like that has that kind of week, it's worth discussing in a sense. And I'll close that on this. I'll post this play. By the time you're listening, you might be able to find it. He had a stop and start in the second quarter, like a stop on a dime for somebody coming downhill trying to get an angle. It's unbelievable. An unbelievable, just pure ability at the second and third level of the field. So I'm really, really excited to see what kind of prospect that he's going to be in the end.
A lot of people are really obsessed with potential home run speed when it comes to running backs, right? We want that running back where when all the blocks line up for you, you can hit a running lane, you could hit a hole, you could hit a cutback, and you could take it the distance. You could take it to the house. You could hit a home run, if you will. But the opportunities for that to happen,
So few and far between,
especially in the NFL, right? It is much more likely that you are going to have instances where someone whose skill set like Blake Corum helps you out, where instead of getting tackled at the line of scrimmage, you have so much body control, so good footwork, such a high amount of agility that you can stop on a dime, make that guy miss right in the trenches between the tackles, and all of a sudden you're turning a 0 yard gain into a 3 or 4 yard gain. They're so that may not be as flashy as the 40, 50 yard touchdown, but I'm telling you what Corum is doing in that instance will happen a lot more than the former. So that's why I really do love his skill set. That's why I had him so high on my running back rankings. And that's why I think that he can really be a damn good pro. The first guy that I want to bring to the table.
Welcome to the show, Trevor.
Yeah, thank you. No, we go back and forth. We go back and forth plenty.
Oh, man. I've already done two of the three players I was going to talk about. I have an honorable mention, but I'm just laughing. Yeah, get on in here. You can go back to back here.
I'm gonna stick with quarterbacks. Stick with a quarterback that's been around for a while here. A guy who absolutely deserves our attention and some praise here on the show, and that is Tennessee quarterback Hendon Hooker. Six-year senior, guy who started his career at Virginia Tech, was a two-year starter while he was at Virginia Tech, I believe after a redshirt year. This is his second year in Tennessee. He transferred after starting for 2 years at Virginia Tech, wanted to go to a better offense. So it's his second year in Josh Heupel's offense there in Knoxville. Listed at 6'4", 215 pounds. Not sure if he's 6'4", although he is tall. Maybe he is 6'4". I won't be a hater. You know what? I won't be a hater about
it. Yeah, come on, dude.
Put 6'4 on the dating profile. Do whatever you want, Hendon. Man, he is killing it so far this season.
It's been really good.
Elite 92.5 overall grade in our system, elite 90.1 passing grade, and an 88.5 rushing grade. This guy is a true dual threat in college football right now. 8 touchdowns passing, 0 interceptions, 8 big time throws, only 1 turnover worthy plays. Also got an average depth of target over 10. It's at 11. It's at 11.5. Brother, he's playing the position so well and with so much confidence. The very first thing that I watched, and obviously I watched a ton of him this past weekend because he was playing my alma mater in Florida, and I didn't think we were going to win, and the big reason why is because of Hendon Hooker and what he's able to do and how he can orchestrate that offense. He's got so much confidence, and I think in how he sees the field pre-snap. There was a specific play very early in the game where Florida originally, when they broke the huddle or when the offense broke the huddle, they were in a too high shell. But then one of the safeties was walking down towards the line of scrimmage before the ball was snapped. And so Hooker, you can see him. You look up and he sees the safety kind of creeping down a little bit. So he goes, okay, safety's coming up. He's either playing robber or he's going against the running back, whatever it is, but he's not going to play deep. So there's only one safety that's going to be deep. And you see Hooker hike the ball, and he looks to his right, and he's looking at the outside wide receiver. But the outside wide receiver is getting bullied. He's getting absolutely bullied by the corner. He's got no separation. There is then somebody who is running a post who is right next to him in the slot, and he was going right behind where that safety was creeping up to be. He knew where that safety was going to be. He immediately turns and looks off that first read to the outside, and he fires it right past where that safety was because he wasn't deep enough, because he knew that he was creeping up in coverage from what he saw in the pre-snap. He wasted no time. He didn't have to, boom, go to his second read, think about it, see the field, go, oh yeah, that safety is not playing deep. He's playing up, so I can hit it past him. He already knew that as he was going to that second read, and the second that his feet hit the floor, his arm was already in motion. He hit the receiver in stride. It was a big game. I then saw throughout the entire rest of the game him manipulating the safeties with his eyes. There were a couple of other instances where he would hike the football. He'd look to his left. He'd keep the single high safety on that side of the field, and then he'd be able to hit somebody. I'm thinking in my head, it was a long over route. It was an extended over route that he was able to hit over the middle, and that was because of what he was looking at with the safeties, how he led the safety off of where he knew he was eventually going to go because he understands these coverages, how they're working. He is playing the position so well, I think. One thing that I really need to see better from him is with footwork. There are times when he just feet straight in the ground, and it's just like it's not a natural instinct for him to always just be on the toes, always be on the toes. He does it sometimes, yep. But there are other times where he will hike the ball and you will just see his feet just planted. And I'm like, stay on the toes. Come on. Because there was a specific throw. I remember this. It was in the red zone. They got the coverage they wanted. He made the right read. He knew exactly where he wanted to go with the football, but the throw was late over the middle that would have got him right to the 1 yard line, or maybe it would have been a touchdown if the guy could have extended things, but he was late on the throw because of where his feet were pointed and they were behind the wide receiver. It ends up getting knocked down. And I think they ended up having to either kick a field goal or it was a long third down because of it. He's got to clean up the footwork. He has to clean up the footwork, but there's so much else that you love to look at with the rest of his game. Everything is going so well for him. I'll say this about the arm strength, because I know a lot of people are going to ask about the arm strength. I don't think that it's like crazy NFL talent. I don't think that he's going to be zipping footballs into super tight windows in the NFL, but he's got really nice touch on deep balls anywhere from 40 to 55 yards. He has shown a lot of confidence on the trajectory that you put on it, the timing of his receivers getting under it. That has been super impressive. So it is somebody who likes to take deep shots, but it's not like crazy arm strength talent pushing the ball down the field and over the middle with that arm strength. So that was all encompassing there, kind of what I've seen from a really, really good player who is putting his mark on this college football season already.
Man, he really has. And it's, you know, what's really impressive to me is how rarely this guy ever puts himself in a situation to turn the ball over, right, through the air.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at this right now. He's thrown 8 touchdowns and no picks this year, coming off a year where he threw 31 touchdowns and 3 picks. At some point, it speaks to, like, I understand that numbers aren't everything, and you have to look into turnover-worthy plays in the database to really see what the luck is on that. But with Hooker, it's legit, man. Like, he really does understand how to take care of the football. And what he lacks maybe in some of those high-end physical tools that you're alluding to, Trevor, he might be able to make up for in up top in the brain. And that's going to be really key to him. Now, what I want to throw to you that I am bracing myself for in this process is, we already know the number one topic with this guy is going to be that he's going to be 25 years old in the draft process. And that's all we're going to hear about. And I think it's going to be a really fascinating process personally for me, and I know you feel the same way, evaluating what he can do right now with the understanding that physically he might be a little fully tapped, because quarterbacks are definitely a position that they always tell you that, you know, if a guy's 20, 21, even 22, like, there's some arm strength. There's some meat on the bone with the arm. This is a guy that's still growing, getting stronger. Mechanically, there's usually things we could tweak. Getting stronger in your base, throwing with your base, which is interesting because you did highlight a little bit of concerns about the footwork. So maybe this is a situation that there is a little bit of room here. Hooker's process or evaluation process, a player that is his sixth year in college, and it was transfer, obviously, from Tech, man, it's going to be poked and prodded like crazy, and we're really going to have to brace ourselves for how to differentiate the things that matter, because sometimes age doesn't matter in the context in terms of what they, you know, what kind of player they are now and what the narratives are going to be around him.
I think it just depends where you're drafting him too, right? Like, I don't think that, I don't think Hendon Hooker is going to be a first round pick.
No, I'd be surprised.
Because, and a major reason why is because of that age, right? I mean, like, if he had a crazy arm, okay, maybe you make an exception at the back end of the first round if he continues to have an unbelievable season. But I don't think he's going to be a first round pick because of that. But, you know, age definitely goes into it, but man, I keep going back to that draft a couple years ago when Kyle Trask, Davis Mills, and Kellen Mond all went like right borderline round two, round three, right in the middle of day two. And I'm like, if those guys can go in that point, what you're seeing from Hendon Hooker, like that, he can go at that point in the draft. But do teams want to draft a guy who's 25? I think when you're an older prospect, what you want to see the most is you want to see a maturity in your game. You want to have that experience show in how you process things. You don't want to still have to learn a lot of the finer points of your position. And I really don't think that's the case with Hooker right now. I mean, it's early, so we've got a long season to go, but I mentioned the footwork could get a little bit better, but man, when it comes to evaluating the field and seeing the field, I feel like he does see things really well. He is taking that experience and turning it into results. And when you're an older prospect, when you're a veteran in college football, that is definitely something that you want to see. If you're going to take a chance on somebody who's older, maybe not as physically gifted, you want them to be ahead of the curve, if you will, and you don't want to be wasting years teaching them their position, teaching them the game when they get to the NFL. You want them to be decently ready. And I do think that Hendon Hooker is. So I think that we are looking at somebody who could potentially be a day two quarterback. I really do, depending on how the class goes.
And boy, do we need it right now. I mean, the depth of this quarterback class kind of fell off a cliff fast. Like, reality sinks in quick. We are not recording this podcast in the month of October yet. And we are looking at a lot of guys that, guilty, raised his hand, I was excited about probably being in this quarterback class, and right. I don't even know if they're in a position to declare anymore.
I mean, we're going to do our first mock draft, in-season mock draft soon. I don't know exactly when we'll do it, but like, how many quarterbacks are we going to have go in the first round if we had to do one today? Three?
Two, right?
I mean, Bryce and CJ for sure.
Sure.
I mean, I'd still put Levis in. I would still put Levis in there.
Yeah, but. You're right. At least we're having the conversation.
Right.
And
right.
You're clearly like saying he's going to sneak in. You're not putting him in the top five or 10.
No, I'm not taking him in the top five or the top 10. But yeah, what was it? When did we do it? 3 weeks ago? A month ago? Levis, Anthony Richardson, Tyler Van Dyke.
I think I put McKee in it.
Right. Yeah. Like, we just put all of these guys in the first round. So maybe a little bit of back to reality, but it is exciting to see a quarterback kind of climb the ladder when some of them have been a little bit disappointing. Who's another guy that you got on your radar? We'll still go back and forth a little bit here.
Yeah, for sure. This was the player I was the most excited to bring to the show today.
Okay.
And that is Jabari Taylor, the defensive lineman for Cincinnati. This is a school that does a really nice job developing defensive linemen up front. Really nice job developing defenders at this point when you look across the board. Taylor is a grad student. He has a very strange build for a defensive lineman, really an edge. They move him all over. He is listed 6'1", 280. I'm going to put on my honesty cap and say he's probably 6 feet tall. He is a fire hydrant. He is pretty thick kind of guy.
Okay.
Trevor, this guy just is so polished at getting after the quarterback and playing the run. I just don't care what he looks like, what size he is. There's going to be a front somewhere in the NFL that finds a place for this guy to rotate in. And as I always tell you guys on this show, and I usually do this with the last player, this doesn't have to be somebody that's going in the top 50 or even on day two, but more of a day three rotational edge player, I guess we can say. Jabari Taylor had 9 pressures this week.
Jesus!
9 pressures. Now, he didn't have a sack, and he didn't have a quarterback hit. They were all quarterback hurries, but it felt like the opposition knew that, and it was Indiana, knew that this dude was coming and the ball had to be out. And I saw a dip and rip. I saw the ability to win inside. I saw a good burst. He's a bigger guy, but he's kind of shifty. I saw speed to power to drive the tackle back into his lap, and the quarterback would have to throw the ball short. He's a really fun watch because it just doesn't really make sense in a way. You know, there's always a guy like this every couple of years, and plenty of them don't hit. And everybody goes back to thinking of the Grady Jarretts of the world and players like that, who's the ultimate pinnacle of a fire hydrant, stouty. Doesn't make sense why this guy is so good, but he's just so good. But Taylor, I really think, can stick as a day three pick, and just how active he is. He's so dang active. He was a big part of that rotation with all those guys and that great defense in 2021. Obviously now a little bit more on the table for him to produce with how many guys have left. But I think Taylor is somebody who's going to, whether it's Shrine or Senior Bowl, I don't know. I haven't seen much buzz on him where I'm expecting a guaranteed Senior Bowl invite at the moment. But I really enjoyed finding this guy. He was somebody I had not watched yet besides the Cincinnati tape last year, and I wasn't focusing on him at all. So it was a really fun watch.
I have not watched him. So I need to get on it. I will also shout out while we are here, because you're talking about bowling ball type defensive linemen. I was going to shout this guy out at the end of the show, but now it's topical, so I'll do it. Thor Griffith. Does that name mean anything?
That is just, where is that name going?
Thor Griffith from Harvard, baby.
Oh.
6'2".
We got brains and brawn.
6'2", 300 pounds. Where's number 50? Sitting in the middle. He's a junior this year. Actually, they got him listed 6'3", 310.
Oh, so they just sit his ass at the zero and say, don't get moved from this spot. This is your recliner for the day, kid.
No, it's not even don't get moved.
Oh, they let him rush?
They say to this dude, pin your ears back and get after it.
Oh, let's go.
And he does, man. I don't know anything about him, but when I was looking at grades, he's one of our highest graded players overall. And he just, I watched a couple of his snaps. Like, I watched a little bit. I didn't do a full deep dive. But it's like, this dude's clearly way better than everybody that he's playing against. So might have a live one here. I just wanted to shout him out. I haven't done a full study on him yet, but with the name Thor Griffith, I had to get him into the show. I had,
dude,
to let the people know.
When I started doing this pod with you and eventually got on the Ultimate Database, I thought in my head that the buffet of all 22 would be my favorite thing, or that I can go watch, you know, a guy's best throws in a quick pinch, or I can watch this or that. My favorite thing, Trevor, is going to a category. It could be pass rushes.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at these guys out of nowhere that I've never heard of, that I don't know anybody scouting in this area, that have like 12 pressures in a game, and you're like, what are you doing? Then you That's watch awesome. Him, and you're like, this guy can play. I'm not saying he's going to be a third-round pick, but even if he's a UDFA for somebody that cuts it in camp and makes his way on the field because of a couple injuries, that is my favorite thing about this process, and that is the, I think it's the most beautiful thing about Ultimate, honestly.
It is wonderful.
Realistically, you and I have been doing this, shockingly, for a much longer time than I remember sometimes. You and I have always joked about the Google Drives we would get of the big schools, or watching as many games as we can. In this day and age, one-man scouting departments, like, we can find guys like this now. It's unbelievable.
I know. It's so much fun, man. It's so much fun. And I do that every single week. I will do that. I will sort like our highest graded defensive and offensive players just to see if anybody's just like a super outlier. And Thor Griffith was like 2 weeks ago. And so I wrote him down, and I didn't get him into the show that last week, but had to give him into the show this week. So when Thor Griffith shows up on your team's training camp roster, remember where you heard him first. That's all I've got to say. Fellas, what if you could have invested in Tom Brady stock as a rookie? Your investment would be worth up to 4,000%. Now, it's not a what if. It's a who's next. Mojo is the all-new sports stock market that lets you invest in your favorite athletes and cash in on your passion. Sign up right now, the Apple Store, and get your first stock for free, worth up to $10,000. That's right, you heard it right. Over 300 NFL players are listed on Mojo, so you can invest in rookies like Breece Hall, rising stars like Elijah Moore, comeback candidates like Saquon Barkley, and superstars like Patrick Mahomes. You can go along to make money when an underrated diamond in the rough breaks out, or a short, overrated rival makes some money as they Flop prices move with every single play, every game, every headline, and you can buy and sell instantly anytime all year long, so the action never stops. Mojo is live in New Jersey right now. Download Mojo on the App Store today. Start running playmakers and turning them into moneymakers. Must be 21 or older to use Mojo and located in New Jersey to make trades. Unfortunately for everybody, it's not in New Jersey. If you have a gambling problem, help is at 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit mojo.com for more info. Connor, that means that you could do it.
I was going to Samson here with a grin on my face. Like, let's get
fire
rich.
This bad boy. Dude, it's like Mojo is like the stock market. It's like what Symbol has.
Yep.
But like players, athletes. Like just players. So like both of those are cool. If you want to invest in a team, you could do so at Symbol. If you want to invest in specific players, you could do so at Mojo. If you live in New Jersey. And if you live in New Jersey.
Let's get rich.
It's called Taylor Ham, not pork roll. Just saying.
Good lad. Good lad. North Jersey stand up.
So go check it out. Go check it out at Mojo. Next guy that I want to bring to the table. Beyond Thor Griffith. Could have just ended the podcast there.
I literally enter these guys into the database as we do this show.
Yeah, you got
the word Griffith.
Yeah. We've got a sixth year senior. We got another one. We got another Wiley vet here.
Charlie this is the nursing Jones. Home edition to stock up.
This is the 55 or older, the senior citizen community. Charlie Jones, the wide receiver from Purdue, 6 feet tall, 188 pounds, soaking wet. I don't know if that's true or not. I just love saying that at the end of people's weights because it's for emphasis.
It's great.
He started his career at Buffalo. And he was at Buffalo for 2 years. Then he transfers over to Iowa. He's like, okay, I'm up in the competition. I got to get in the Big Ten. I'm going to Iowa. Didn't get a single target in his first year at Iowa, and he was only fifth on the team in receptions in 2021 for the Hawkeyes. So what did he do? He transferred over to Purdue. He transferred to Purdue, what he said this offseason, to simply join this offense because he saw what it has made out of people like David Bell, out of Rondale Moore, right? These guys that they have been heavy target hogs for them if they've really been able to show that they know their craft well. And Charlie Jones absolutely does. He already has more catches and more touchdowns this year than he has his entire college career before now. He's got a 57.1 contested catch percentage. Only playing 8% in the slot. So think about it. That means that a 6 foot tall, 188 pound wide receiver is winning on the outside consistently. He has a target share of 34.9, which, as we've referenced in the show, anything above 30, you're the focal point of the passing attack. So he's up to 34.9%. Average depth of targets, 12.6. He is tied for the lead in college football in receiving touchdowns with 7. He may not look physically imposing when he stands on the line of scrimmage, but Connor, this dude knows how to play wide receiver. I love the footwork of this dude. When the ball is snapped, he is sometimes putting these corners in hell off the line of scrimmage, getting them to flip their hips one way, and then boom, putting his foot in the ground, setting them up, going to where the open space is. He's a master, I think, of a lot of different ways to run routes. He's not a burner deep down the field. He's just not. So he's never going to be this major threat vertically, but I really do think that his route tree is super diverse. I think he's really in control when he's making his cuts, whether it's putting one foot in the ground and changing direction or chopping the feet, spinning the hips, getting around to where he wants on a comeback route or something similar to that. He's very nuanced. He understands the position so well. He's a lot of fun to watch because of that. You're going to see really good wide receiver play when you turn on the film and you watch Charlie Jones. Again, not the most athletic dude in the world, but there are so many times when, especially in the most recent weeks after the start of the season, where defenses are keying in on this guy. Like, they'll bracket him in coverage. They'll put two sets of eyes on him, and it doesn't matter. Like, he'll find that open space. He'll round the route the way that he needs to keep the space, keep the separation, allow Aiden O'Connell to get that football to him. When he does, he delivers. He's got really soft hands, really reliable hands. And, man, I just love the way that he plays the game. I think that he knows the position so well. And going back to what you were saying about Hendon Hooker and some of these older prospects, what do you do with these guys who are older? What do you want to see? Well, I want to see that you know your position. I want to see the fact that if we are drafting you as an older player, how much do we have to teach you? And honestly, for Charlie Jones, what you see is what you get. That probably means he's not going to ever be a top 50 pick. Because Connor, you and I both know that if there's anything that scouts and general managers don't like, it's when they can't have imagination. It's when it's truly like what you see is what in front of you. But those mid-round picks, those day 3 picks, That's what a guy like Charlie Jones is absolutely made out of. And that's what somebody who can be a late round pick that can make the roster, somebody who really, really understands how the position is played and can really be productive that way. So like I like Jones a lot for that. That's kind of the category that I see him in, but good wide receiver, man.
Well, and here's the thing, Trevor, going back to your point of what can he do for me right now? This guy was a key special teams player for Iowa. He was their Reggie Roby Special Teams Award player in 2021. He was a kick returner, punt returner, and a pretty reliable one at that. So that's a huge thing to have on his resume. And, he, you know, like you said, he went to Purdue to go be a part of the offense, right, to develop as a player away from just being a specialist and really get a chance of being a true wide receiver. And last thing, in his headshot, he wears a choker necklace with his number on it. This guy looks like ready for a dating show ASAP. So if it doesn't work out as a day three special teams player trying to be a backup wide receiver, he's got the, I feel like, wow, the 90s swag going. Yeah, you see it. Does. We all see it.
He does.
It's a choker with a number.
Yeah, and it's not like the neck's like so big that it makes a normal necklace.
He's
a choker.
He's not a fullback.
You know? Like, he's not Takeo Spikes trying to put on a normal like Jackson chain or
no,
something.
No, it's meant
it looks
to be.
Like he's actually just like choking him out. No, that's a tight one. That's a fashion.
Charlie Jones.
Do you have another name you want to throw out there? I got one more because I know we went out of order with Blake Corum. But...
No, yeah, I'll let you close it out because cool. We'll each do three.
Okay, so Akeem Mesidor, the defensive lineman from Miami, another transfer player, but he's not super old. So he's a redshirt sophomore. It's only his third year in college football, but he's transferred over from West Virginia. Now this is his first year at Miami. Bit of a tweener, 6'3", 280 pounds, and he'll play as a 5-tech player. He'll play as a 4-eye. He'll play as a 3-tech. So they'll move him kind of anywhere from a 3 to a 5. I like him the best as a 3, but like a lot of guys in his situation, how much are you going to be able to play a guy who's 280 as a 3-tech? So that's why I think they kick him outside a little bit. They let him play on the edge there. Born in Ontario, Canada, ended up playing high school football at Clearwater International Academy, a program that they have down in Florida. He was pretty good with WVU. He really does. Last season, he had 38 tackles. 8 tackles for loss, 4.5 sacks. And then on his career, he totaled 70 tackles, 14.5 tackles for loss, and 9.5 sacks in his 2 seasons there. Connor, this is an explosive player. I love the way he gets off the ball. He is violent. Miami does a lot of fun things with stunts and twists and having guys go all the way across the line of scrimmage to then try to collapse the pocket on the other side. And when they do, they often use Mesidor as their focal point because he will fire off the ball. He's got so much explosiveness, and he'll give you a lot of energy when he ends up getting to contact. I think the hands are very violent. You see a lot of different hand moves from him. He can push, pull you, and he can rip you straight to his side. I was watching that Texas A&M game, and honestly, he was giving Layden Robinson some battles. Now, I'll say Robinson got the better of him a handful of times as well, but it was fun to see those guys get to go back and forth a little bit when they were lined up against each other. I feel like the biggest area of concern with him, and he's just a redshirt sophomore, so this makes sense. He doesn't pass rush with as much of a plan as I would like for him to. I think the hands are heavy. I think they're violent. I've seen him hit a swim move on players. I love when he gets to go across the face of an offensive lineman because they often are grasping at air because he's moving so fast off the line of scrimmage. But it just doesn't seem like he knows exactly what he wants to do when interior offensive lineman either tries to get his hands on him or when he's trying to go inside or outside, whatever it is. It's almost like he's just trying to figure it out. Like he's saying, I'm trying to fire off the ball super quick. That's going to be my calling card. That's going to be my bread and butter. And then I'll kind of figure it out after that. I'd love to see him get a little bit more reps in there. Maybe it could happen at the end of this year, although I think it might be something that we'll probably be talking about this guy in next year's draft, depending on how much he catches fire this year. But that's really what I'm looking for. The athletic ability's there. I like the build. He's got production already as a good player. It's just how much of a pass rush repertoire can you get before you declare? If he gets it quickly, if we see a lot more of it as the year goes on, maybe he could be in this year's class. But a fun player to watch. If you guys haven't watched him already, keep Akeem Mesidor on your radar, the Miami defensive lineman.
Finally, some good news for the Hurricanes, man.
Indeed.
You know what, Trevor? If there's anything anyone in this world can constantly rely on you for, it is absolutely to find a a gleam of light in a brutal situation. I truly mean that. You always have, you could pull some optimism. And, you know, honestly, real talk, I'm glad you brought him up because I kind of forgot about him as a transfer. And now it's somebody that I want to go back and see and not get caught up in the LOL Miami trend. Because right. I feel like that, my honorable mention, I'll bring that to Ricky Stromberg, the center for Arkansas, is somebody that I feel like a lot of people might walk away from this week and remember the bad snap he had towards the end of the game. But when you turn on the tape with this guy, what he's able to do, especially as a run blocker in the middle of the offensive line, the grip strength, the pure power, the pure anchor power, and to move and redirect gigantic nose tackles, I was wildly impressed. So it's funny what we do, and you bringing a Miami player to the stock show made me think of that. Like, what we do is so different from the college football world because we are evaluating things in such a vacuum sometimes, in such tight quarters, rather than the narrative of what actually can be going on game-wide.
Mm-hmm. No, and I think that's what we're trying to do always here on this podcast. We're trying to give people full context. We're trying to, you mentioned one bad snap that your guy had and you didn't want him to be remembered for that. And I feel like a lot of people might. And really there is a lot more snaps that go before and after that you need to analyze as well. So that's what we're always trying to do. And that's what these Tuesday shows are all about. Kind of giving you guys a full scope into some players that maybe you never heard of, or give some love to some players that you have. As always, we'd love to hear from you guys. Tell us who you think is standing out in college football right now. You know, as much as Connor and I love to consume as much as we possibly can, we only got two sets of eyes and there's only 24 hours in a day. We know that you guys are watching college football like crazy as well. If yep. there's somebody that you want us to give our thoughts on, or shoot, we'd always love to hear you guys' thoughts as well. When you comment on YouTube, that's the best way to do it. Or you can tweet at us as well. Connor J. Rogers, Tampa Bay Trey on Twitter. If you've got takes on a player, fire away. We'd always love to hear him. But if not, if you just say, hey, I've been watching this guy lately, I feel like he's standing out, we'd love to hear your thoughts on him. We'd love to do that too. That's how we build this show out. That's how we make it a draft community here at NFLSC, not just Connor and I talking about a handful of prospects. You got anybody else before we get out of here? Or
I think that wraps up my week. I think that going forward, well, we should probably tease that this show will be moving.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a good time to remind that. So this show, strategically, and for the benefit of you, the listener, mm-hmm. we'll be moving to Wednesdays now because for a lot of reasons. The obvious reason is I think everybody can't catch their breath on Mondays coming out of the NFL weekend. We are much aware that you guys consume a ton of NFL content that might not always be stock exchange specific. That by the time Tuesday morning rolls around, I mean, let's be real, that's a lie. But
no, it's the only podcast.
Yeah, this is the only podcast. And if you cheat on us, we hate you. No, I'm just kidding. But it just gives you a little bit more time. And honestly, I think we'll bring more players to the show now because you and I are sprinting. And then we record this full transparency, Monday nights. And we have a lot of tape we've gone through. But doing it on Wednesdays, I think we'll make this a more dense show, the amount of players we can go through. And Trevor and I kind of realized that needs to start soon because it's almost October.
Yeah.
We are dangerously close to a lot of other people caring or diving into the draft. There are going to be NFL teams that are unfortunately out of it. Trust me, I know the feeling, pals, that are out of it by the end of October, early November, and people are just going to be all in on the draft. So we went full throttle on this class over summer, mm-hmm. and we're going to get September. We didn't take a break, but we definitely went on cruise control in terms of the amount of people. Going forward now, we're going to get back into, you're going to know 400 names by the end of this draft.
Wow, that's a promise. That is a promise right there.
Promise that.
No, but
I agree
with you. And we also know that there's so much content that comes out on Mondays that we know that you guys are listening to on Mondays and Tuesdays as well. You care about the NFL a lot. So we're letting you do that. So the way that we will have this podcast scheduled moving forward is it'll be a Monday show and then it'll be a Wednesday show and a Thursday show. We're also not doing Thursday lives anymore. And the reason why is because we've got a lot of really cool projects that we want to dedicate for the Thursday show. And in order to bring them to you guys in from a visual sense for y'all who watch it on YouTube, we kind of it kind of just needs to be a pre-recorded one. So we'll do a handful of live shows, especially when it comes to draft season. We'll be able to have a lot more freedom to throw out some live shows with you guys, because we did love doing those on Thursday. But we do think that these changes are going to be better. We've thought about it a lot. We want to get more creative. We want to give you guys more information, better information, and just bring you the best podcast possible. So that's what we're going to have moving forward. Monday shows, Wednesday shows, Thursday shows. They're all going to be pre-recorded. The Thursday one, we're going to start getting into some fun series. We'll still do mailbag stuff, but we're going to get into like fix your team stuff. And a lot of that creativity that you remember from the summer, we want to bring that in season content as well. So that's what we will, that's what we will be doing. Did I hit it all? Did I get them all? Or I just want to make sure I double check before we get out of here.
I think you did. I think I still don't remember our new schedule, but I hopefully the listeners can run that back. And it's better for them. It's better for them. I think the delivery of the podcast is better for everybody, and better for us in terms of the kind of shows we can deliver that make this show very, very unique, as a lot of you saw in June and July.
I will. I'll send you a calendar invite so you make sure that you show up for the recordings.
Thank you. I will admit I've been a little bit of a mess. I was on a Gmail for almost a decade, and
you're not Gmail anymore.
I am on my personal, okay. But my full-time job, we have migrated elsewhere, and my calendar just was gone one day. So I basically was just like drunk stumbling for like a week, like, where am I supposed to be right now? What am I doing? But we're back. We're back on track. Everything's good.
All right. Well, I'll have my people talk to your people. So we
yeah,
make sure
please. Yes.
Mondays, yeah, Wednesdays, Thursdays for everybody that needed a reminder. Cough, cough, stuff. Connor. But that's what we're going to be having moving forward. We think it's going to yield some really great podcasts. And that's, of course, because you guys are going to
yield big dividends, as they say on the stock market, right?
Oh, they do.
Yep. Welcome to the NFL Stock Exchange.
Welcome to the NFL Stock Exchange, people. I am Trevor Sikkema. That is Connor Rogers. Thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure you let us know who we need to watch for next week on the Stock Watch episode. We will see you guys on Thursday. Thanks for listening to the NFL Stock Exchange podcast.